Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I'm going to make this solemn promise to you. We have lots and lots of sports content today, but there is something happening.
I think I found him on Facebook.
Oh my God. There is something happening on the fan text right now. Frankel and Frankel, Andrew Turney, text line 877-881-1053. There are numerous people who are texting in.
Somebody just texted and said, it's me and his name.
Okay. Well, if it was you, I hope you know what I'm talking about. We got four independent texts and was like, hey, was it this person? It must have been this person. And I did not remember that person's last name. But you know what? I think it was that person. If you've texted in what you think that guy's last name was, I think you're right. Jeez. And this is crazy.
Yeah, Kevin, I feel like this isn't good for you. This isn't a good look. You may have destroyed this guy's life.
I doubt that feels.
And I think you're going to have to bring him on the show and have an hour long sit down with him.
Oh my gosh. About that sounds like a podcast.
The moments that y'all had, the times that y'all shared, and how you can reconcile and forgive here in the future. And if he comes on and he's a jerk, then we can really roast him.
Okay.
Like, that's what we can do here. Hopefully it's not that same person.
And also, this is kind of blowing my mind. I just want to say for the record, I don't think your life should be ruined if you were kind of an asshat in high school. I think we should chalk that up to it was high school, and of course you were. But
you think everybody was kind of an asshat in high school?
In their own way. I bet like 85%. I do think there were genuinely like 15, maybe 20% of people who have always just been good and kind to all humans.
Thank you.
The way it should be. I don't know if you were at the top of my list for that. But I will readily admit I was not one of those people. And
oh man, this is a really important one from the 817. Nobody else on the planet calls it a fence door. So
not like true. Is, yeah. Not true. I found two people.
They just made them up.
To be on your good side.
Now, to RJ's point, there are 8 billion people, and I found two that agreed with me. That was one of the more astounding defeats I've had. I get defeated all of the time, frequently by Corey, but usually I can find a decent subsection of people who are on my side. I found two against, I don't know,
another
like 800.
One? Another person texted in. You're talking about oh my gosh.
They know? Wow. I had no idea. We had such a...
Well, I got a bunch of people with his name pulled up on Facebook, Kevin. We'll go through and see if it's him in a little bit. See if we can really drill down on how he may have changed his life.
Okay, I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope that things are going great for him.
The 469, if I met my high school self, I'm throwing that guy in a trash can.
Yes!
I understand.
Yes!
Some people are.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of us probably feel that exact same way. All right. I promise you we have lots of sports, and we do have lots of sports. So what I would like to start with you fine fellas today, if we can, all the options for the Cowboys to actually improve their defense. And I want to go ahead and throw this out there. If you missed Sean and RJ's interview with Jerry Jones today, if you missed our interview with Stephen Jones yesterday, it was made abundantly clear that right now Matt Eberflus is going nowhere. All right. And so I thought that's why this topic could hopefully be interesting because I know people are like, Eberflus, Eberflus. All right. Well, we talked to the two people who are in charge yesterday and today, and they both said pretty matter-of-factly, he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. I honestly wouldn't do that either if I was the GM at this moment. Because
can you tell me why?
Because I'm judging the players on the field at the same time. And I know... I have to be honest with myself. I put those players on the field.
True.
I got the linebackers that aren't good enough to do their job. I was the one that signed the cornerbacks that are injured and have problems right now and drafted an injured cornerback to replace some of those guys. I'm the one. So if I'm looking at people to blame, I got to start with me. They don't do that. The guys they got are perfectly fine, capable.
Sure.
And you guys approved them, right?
Sure.
A lot of that. So that's the first thing. Now I'm saying, okay, can I go get you better players right now? Can I find other ways? Well, what are they saying? They're on the way.
Yeah.
DeMarvion Overshown is on the way.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
And then as Steven told us yesterday, that's a full ramp-up period, not a thing where it's going to be like, all right, you're going to hit the ground running. So yeah, that's why, Kevin, I wouldn't fire him right now because – I haven't fixed all the other problems, and I hired the guy because I thought he can be a good and serviceable defensive coordinator. I got to give him time to work with the crap product I've given him.
You don't know where to go back.
I'm sorry. The product that I don't think is up to par. I shouldn't say crap.
I want to go back to what you were just talking about with Steven in terms of a full ramp-up process. So I saw an article, you know, because I know Shoddy, I think he had said, hey, maybe in a week or two, Overshown's window could be open. Well, then that's another 3 weeks. So he's not right around the corner. Like, it's 5 weeks away. All right. So we rule that out. Let's talk about what you can actually do. And I want y'all's feedback, of course, but I threw out a couple of ideas as well.
Well, okay, hold on. Let's establish something real quick. Are the draft picks that you acquired from Green Bay usable products?
Yes.
Okay. For you?
Not for me.
Okay. Because you said that you don't think this team specifically,
correct,
even though the season's long,
correct,
you're like, nope, I don't like it. I wouldn't use those to trade for anything, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I just think that is a mistake. I don't know if
Max Crosby came up,
I would say no. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who would be furious about that. I would say no, because I don't think that gets you to where you want to be this season. And then you're going to face a whole lot of issues, salary cap and age wise going forward with him. I feel like I've been clear. I'm not looking to add right now. And I know that infuriates a lot of Cowboys
fans.
That's
the only place where I am is that's the only place I think you can fix this team right now is by adding.
All right.
Otherwise, I'm with you.
So
just wait until next season.
That makes sense. But I want to pitch out some ideas and see how you feel about
play
the
more
merit
man
of any of these. All right. Now, that is an intriguing question to start. Do you want to pay? Well, you're paying two quarterbacks $20 million plus per season. So do you really need to play so much zone defense? And I mean, you could even massively scale down your zone defense and still run it, 65-70% of the time?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge drop. Would you like to see more man coverage, or do you actually think that that might expose more of the flaws, maybe specifically with Diggs?
Yeah, I would love to see more man coverage.
Okay, me too.
Because Diggs feels more comfortable in that. I mean, we've seen it before, as long as he has the safety help to go along with it. And listen, our safety's struggling. And Jerry did mention Malik Hooker in that part of the conversation that, hey, don't forget we don't have that guy out there. Wanye Thomas, as much as we love him, maybe a step down.
Sure.
But there's really good qualities about him. Got to figure out how to use him. Donovan Wilson's being used incorrectly. So is that helping when the man coverage comes about? Are they playing cover, that cover two? They're not healthy completely, I don't believe.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons that their bodies have to get back into the playing shape that they're used to. But I would say, yeah, we got to start challenging those guys to go be what they are. And if they're getting beat, this is going to, they're going to have to figure a way out to not get beat, because they're going to be accountable to their teammates. Those guys in that locker room aren't going to let that slide that long.
So let's go back to Donovan Wilson then. Donovan Wilson is not particularly good in coverage and loves to hit. Would you try him out at linebacker? Now, I understand at linebacker, you're still going to have some coverage assignments, but it feels like the possibility for disaster coverage-wise at linebacker is just naturally going to be lower than it is at safety. And if he loves to hit people, let's get him in there and see if he can break up some of the second level runs. I'm not saying it fixes it, but do you want to try it?
I mean, you're doing basically kind of a Dan Quinn thing then, right?
Yes.
And Kevin, I mean, quite honestly, if I'm doing that, I might even be looking at a different style of defense altogether.
Okay.
Like, my style is probably a little more 3-4, but I still don't feel like I have the size at linebacker to do that, what I want to do, because then that's going to kill me on the run. But didn't I just fix the run but with my defensive tackles? I think Jerry's readily admitting that he likes their pass rush, but he also doesn't feel like he has a defensive end that can play the run and pass rush.
That I think Michael is very fair.
Michael was not that.
No.
And I think Jerry's admitted that a couple of different times without completely saying it. He's just like, no, we are still working on how to stop the run.
Right.
And I think that's one of the main reasons. I think Neyland was the guy that I was hoping would be that. I don't want to move Donovan Wilson to linebacker, size being a big factor there.
Okay.
And your lack at safety.
Flatten out or even up your rotation of defensive linemen. So, like, we'll just take this last game for an example. Marshawn Neyland played 20 plays. Now, I think he would have played more if not for his ankle bothering him. Dante Fowler, 18 snaps. Then you have Sam Williams and Ezeraku, who played 37 and 38 snaps respectively. And then you have James Houston, who only played 14 snaps. Now, back to the point that you just made, I don't think anyone is here to argue that James Houston is also a run stopper in addition to a pass rusher. But would you like to see maybe, for example, fewer Sam Williams snaps and more James Houston snaps?
I want to make one more comment real quick.
Okay.
Situationally, I would like to see Donovan Wilson as a linebacker.
Okay.
Situationally.
Okay.
Yes, I want to see more Ezeraku snaps. That's coming, I believe, as he's developing. They're trying to figure out, you know, how he does in the run and how he can not get pushed down into the pile and get, you know, seal the edge off. James Houston, he's a pass rush specialist.
For sure.
Can he stop the run? And also, Kevin, here's something else. I need to go look at the numbers on this. In most expected run situations, are teams running against the Cowboys, or in most expected pass run situations, they're going back? It's 50-50.
See, my guess would be 50-50, because prior to this last game, we all talked about how you can almost pass on the Cowboys at will.
Yeah, and I feel like the last two games, the Jets and Panthers were like, well, we can run the ball. So that's two different things there. I would like to see more James Houston opportunities. I understand they're saying we don't think he has the legs for it to be able to play that many snaps. But at one point, Kevin, didn't Clowney have 13 snaps in the first half?
Yeah.
Is his body not ready for it?
I think, and that was actually closer to the fourth quarter when he was only at 13 snaps. And so I think there can be a compromise there.
Rotation needs to be more suitable.
Exactly. So let's take James Houston once again as an example. You can say that you don't think he has the legs or situational opportunities for, let's say, closer to that 30 snap count. I think that's totally fair. But what if we jumped it up from 13 to 20 or something like that? I just think that when you look at this rotation, maybe you see a little less Sam Williams or whoever your person is. Maybe you think Ezeraku needs to be eased up just a little bit, and then perhaps more for Houston, perhaps more for Clowney, because you're not stopping the run anyway.
I agree with the 806. Sam Williams has regressed.
Me too.
He doesn't look as explosive as he did 2 years ago. And that's a big concern, because I'm not seeing him beat anybody. And that's I'm having a hard time seeing the dude that we were like, he will be a good rotational piece. And then the Cowboys are like, no, he's going to be a starter. You're like, hold on. We always thought of him as a rotational piece.
Yeah.
They're like, you don't know what we know, boys.
I mean, I guess. Good for them. Another one to consider. Maris Leofau. So they used him in this last game. And I know it's just one game, but this is the game that we're all focused on because you're like, wow, you took all of the worst parts of the defense and combined them into one game. So, right? That's what it feels like. So Maris Leofau, 27 snaps at strong side linebacker. Would you like to see maybe more snaps for him and maybe a little bit slide down for Shamar James? I know Shamar James, once again, is making tackles, but when you look at the way the Cowboys like to kind of alternate their linebackers, for example, I wonder if you could scale down a little bit on Shamar James, still have him out there plenty, and have some more Maris Leofau, because I will tell you one thing about Leofau, and I know he comes with his flaws as well. Okay. It feels like he's most apt to be making plays for this team.
Okay, here's the thing. We need to figure out how to meld Leofau and Shamar James. Because here's the thing with James. The tackles that he makes are the tackles that are immediate.
Yeah.
He makes the tackle that he's supposed to make. Maris Leofau makes plays.
Yes.
So that was.
But not all.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Plays the tackle.
When we watch Jalen, as somebody says, Jalen Sunglasses Smith in college, we were like, that dude makes the tackles he's supposed to make and plays Superman too. He makes plays. Sean Lee made plays. Van Der Esch would make some plays, but he also made those tackles. That's Shamar James is a guy that is the pass landed here.
Yeah.
I made the play.
Right.
Maris Leofau will miss on that play, but then make something special happen where you're like, what the hell? So I'm guessing I'll take more Leofau, but I do have to make up, Kevin. If I have a couple of different guys on the field, three, four different guys, my pass rush isn't good, my run can't stop, and now I have a couple guys that are going to whiff on plays down the field, I have questions.
Okay, so believe it or not, I think that's what I want to lean into, all right?
Just put all the players out there and go.
Because you're not doing well on the rush defense.
Did you see Atlanta go after Josh Allen last night and just get after him?
And they just
said, go, guys.
And that's the thing. So if I'm going to turn loose, at least occasionally, I'm not saying every single sequence, every single play, but if I don't think you can cover anyway and you're giving up huge plays, especially in zone, and you can't get to the quarterback, then why not run some of these more unique formations where you're like, hey, we still can't do those things, but you know what? We might be able to get to the passer. Or you know what? We might be able to be more likely to force a turnover. So there's just some ideas. I know people would love to make a trade or get rid of Eberflus, but you're not going to get rid of Eberflus, and I still think long-term it's not a good idea to get rid of those draft picks. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, navigating the NFC East, where a nail-biting Monday night finish means the Giants are the only team in this division that won this week. Next on The Fan.
This will be a 38-yard try between the hash marks, in the rain, in the wind.
Our version of the Hail Mary.
Scott Daly sends it back. Spot down. Kick up. Jake Modi from 38. It is gone! Time expires, and the Bears win their third in a row for the first time in five seasons.
Not a lot of faith from that other announcer going into that kick.
I don't know about this.
Our version of the Hail Mary. First time for them to get back-to-back-to-back wins in 5 years. And they took down the Commanders because nobody in this division wants to win. Let's navigate the NFC East. And I think this is the part. Well, first of all, any loss is agitating. And if you heard Jerry with Sean and RJ, and he even goes, I also look at the schedule and put wins and losses. And you can definitely tell he put this one as a win. You could.
That's the way you took that, huh?
Yeah, 100%.
Same.
So if they would have won that game, they would be 3-2-1 and half a game out of first place and in second place in the division. But alas, that's not what happened, and they're half a game out of last place in the division. Would you like to go Eagles, Commanders, Cowboys, or Giants? Commanders did just play last night.
You know what? I'm going to shake it all up. Let's go with the team that won this week.
The New York Football Giants.
Who I do believe Bobby thinks is the next in line to be fired. If I heard correctly this morning. Yeah.
Oh. Because he thinks Scataboo is going to regress. Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo, they both scored on Thursday night and ran for scores. Last time the Giants had two rookies with one or more rushing touchdown in the same game was Week 10 against Dallas in 1980 when Larry Heater and Leon Perry each had a rushing touchdown. Let's talk more about Mr. Dart and Mr. Scataboo. They were involved in all five of the Giants' touchdowns. Three rushing touchdowns for the running back, and then one rushing and one passing for their quarterback. Both the running back and quarterback had 23 yards over expectation running against the Eagles. So they have really been able to impose their will. And then this last thing going back to their Thursday night game that is going to be hugely important for really any team. The Giants scored on all three of their trips into the Eagles' red zone.
And they'd struggled at that with Russell Wilson, for sure.
Exactly, except against us.
I think they even struggled against us. Did they not struggle against us at that? I feel like they scored, but even in the red zone, they had their moments.
You might have a point. I have now forgotten about that one. Everything has been the worst possible variation against our defense. So maybe that is not unfair.
I'll say this. The energy that Dart has brought to that room is you can see it paying off on the other side of the ball, too. Like, they're excited. They want to get the ball back to their offense. I think Scataboo's kind of done the same thing, too. It's a reckless style of football.
Right.
He's going to last maybe 3 years. But it'll be the most fun 3 years of our lives.
And do you always wonder, like, also, does he see that as his only route to playing in the NFL?
Josh Hamilton, right? Like, I only know one style to play.
Right.
This is how I play best. I have something that nobody else has. I have to utilize it. And Scataboo's like, I'm strong. I'm built like a refrigerator.
Yeah.
I have to use this.
Do you want to continue to switch it up? Where are we going next?
Let's go to Washington, who did play last night, and I think maybe the most exciting game of the week.
This was a very exciting game, but go ahead and give me cut number three. It was exciting if you weren't a Washington fan, because just when it felt like they had the game, this happened.
Daniels left to right. He's got Kroski Merritt behind him. Oh, he fumbled the ball, and the Bears recover. He stuck it in the belly of the back. It didn't get there. Kroski Merritt. And Daniels, it's a misfire, an opportunity. Bears have taken the ball away.
So the Commanders turned the ball over three times in that game. They also had another fumble, but they recovered it. So they had potential for four turnovers right there. And then the Bears specifically, their win probability at the beginning of that play was 14.9%.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm surprised it was even that high.
Yes, after that, it went up to 42.3%. So obviously off of one play, and I realize, like we've said, there's a lot that goes into it. But you can look at that one play and be like, what a game changer that was.
I'm gonna say, did it seem like right after that fumble, the rain lightened up? For Chicago, and they were like,
okay.
I couldn't see it as well as I could whenever they had the ball. That's all I'm going to say. And what timing. If I was Ben Johnson, I probably would not have trusted the kick. to win the game.
I mean, neither did that announcer.
At all.
Heard him.
Yeah. No,
it's a Hail Mary.
This whole time, all I was thinking was, you got to score a touchdown, dude.
Probably.
Don't take the chance of a slippery ball on a fumbled snap to be the reason that you lose this. Or a kicker that had just, you were like, I got to find this guy in the Goodwill store. You know, like, you just threw him in there. I wouldn't have trusted that. Ben Johnson did. The whole time I was just like, keep giving the ball to Swift and go
right,
score.
Right. Now,
and also, man, Caleb Williams had a throw last night.
It was pretty special.
It wasn't complete, but I loved the throw.
Deebo Samuel was active. He's been dealing with a heel issue. He had 4 catches for 15 yards. Then I want to take you to the play that everybody made fun of Dan Quinn for. So he challenged a 1-yard completion on first down. And social media lit up with, what are we doing, bro? And it was in the second quarter. So on that challenge by DeAndre Swift, it turned a 2nd and 9 into a 2nd and 10. And again, it sounds foolish, but it eventually got to a 4th and 1, and the Commanders got the stop to hold Chicago scoreless on the drive. Now, do I know exactly how that, if it would have played out the exact same way and they would have got the first down? No, but man, oh man, in the span of 3 plays, Dan Quinn looked like a moron and then all of a sudden looked like the smartest human being that had ever lived.
Yeah, and that comes with, you know, everybody's going to hindsight check your decisions on things, and you could be a hero.
And then they still lost anyway.
Jaden Daniels looks good, but there's something different about him this year. Like, there are times when I'm like, man, that throw was amazing.
Yeah.
And then there are other times where I'm like, this offense looks clunky. And maybe it's because you have some injuries at receiver. Maybe that's
the case. And Jaden Daniels himself has been injured
a little bit. But that team doesn't look – I expected, Kevin, this year for them to be a lot better.
Yeah,
than their record shows right now.
I mean, prior to last night, he had done a great job at taking care of the ball. Just a phenomenal job. I think the completion percentage and therefore just the efficiency in general, the passing game is down. But maybe it's a byproduct of coming back from injuries. We'll see, because I know, much like Stroud before him, people are anxious to say sophomore slump. And as a Cowboys fan,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, I hope that is the case as well. All right, you want Eagles or Cowboys?
Cowboys.
All right, for the Dallas Cowboys, I'll try to give you some good news. Hunter Lipke became the first Cowboys fullback in 17 years to maybe 18 years to catch a touchdown pass. That second quarter touchdown was the first by a Cowboys fullback since Deion Anderson. And that was in 2008. So, yes, I think 18 years. Then there's Jake Ferguson. He had the 19-yard touchdown, which I thought was just a masterful pass from Dak Prescott as well. Ferguson has 4 touchdowns in the first 6 games. That's tied for the most by a tight end through 6 games in franchise history. Speaking of ties, George Pickens, he caught a touchdown for a 5th consecutive game and has 6 receiving touchdowns through 6 games. That is also tied for the Cowboys record at this point. Dez Bryant did that in 2013.
He's Dez Bryant, huh? So one more catch, one more game. He's better than Dez.
I need to go back and check Dez's 7th game to see how that stands up. I will look into that.
Well, we'll see.
Now, I'll tell you one more positive.
Would anybody ever admit it? Would anybody ever say, yeah, he's better than Dez?
Settle down just
Okay. Well, Jerry says no. And then Dak Prescott also passed Troy Aikman for second most passing yards in Cowboys history. He trails only Tony Romo, and he's only 1,129 yards behind. If he stays healthy, he will break that record, I feel like, overwhelmingly in the next five games. And you're like, wow, that's so many great things. Here's the other stat. Cowboys have given up 184 points thus far this season. That's the third most at this point in the season in franchise history.
Let's go.
No, that's bad. All right. This goes back to the 1960 season. So what are we on now? The 66th season? This is the third most points the Cowboys have ever given up. So if you're like, how can we be this mediocre to subpar? Mediocre might be too nice. Subpar with all these offensive things. This is how. Third most points at this point in franchise history.
Can't believe it. What are we going to do to fix it?
That was the first segment.
Oh, yeah.
Hit the,
go back and,
yeah, hit the radio rewind. All right. For the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, going back to that Thursday game, he had his first interception of the season. He had thrown 304 straight passes without an interception. We talked about how effective the Giants were in the red zone. Let's talk about how ineffective Philadelphia was on third down. They were just one of nine on third down in that game.
Those chumps.
And here's part of the problem. The average to go on those third downs was 7.1 yards.
Okay. Is Kellen Moore not being there the reason? That offense looked like it always had to answer last year.
Right. Maybe so. Or maybe you just got that magical season out of Jalen Hurts. Now, was that because of Kellen Moore or was that because of Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, they can't run the ball. They can't.
That, well, and you just, know what? I think now I'm going to change my answer because of what you said. That's the reason. The answer was nobody could stop Saquon Barkley. Thus, your passing game could do whatever it wants.
Yeah.
This year, Saquon Barkley is not doing jack ass.
Yeah, I blame a lot of that offensive front. As good as they are at the tush push and as good as they are at other things, they are not giving the Saquon the opportunity.
And I think he sees the direction this is going. So Za'Darius Smith just retired in the middle of the season. He's like, I'm done.
Yeah, dude, I did kind of wonder that yesterday. I was like, hold on, he must really think that life is going to be bad.
I don't know if that means that he also sees that they're about to implode. And he'd already had a sack and a half this season, which I think is about what Micah has. And then also, Kelee Ringo. This is another thing. We talk about all the good moves that Howie Roseman makes. Kelee Ringo has really struggled this year. You go back to just the last game where he was the nearest defender in coverage, gave up three catches for 69 yards, which would make you a star in this Cowboys defense. But for the Eagles, not so great. For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where we got another Monday Night Football upset. Next on The Fan.
First and five. Robinson off the right side. Breaks free. Bijan Robinson spinning down the sideline. Still going. Can they catch him? They cannot. Touchdown, Falcons, 81 yards.
Bijan Robinson going crazy right there for that touchdown run right now, powered by Men's T Clinic. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Deep it and reap it.
And we're switching it around today because we got Pudge coming up at 11.
Pudge Rodriguez
right here on 105.3 The Fan. Bijan Robinson's 81-yard touchdown run is the longest rush in the NFL this season. And I know Chicago beating Washington was an upset. This felt like an even bigger deal that the Falcons beat the Bills. And I take you back to last week's NFL overreaction or reality. Does this feed any more into the idea that right now there are no elite teams in the NFL, or is parity hitting even harder than usual?
Yeah, the Lions lose that one last night. Like, the teams that I thought, okay, these are the ones. Maybe the Buccaneers are elite.
Maybe.
And all these one-score games that they've won are just, you know, happenstance. This really hurt, Kevin. Because not only did I lose at fantasy this week,
oh,
But I also lost one of my underdog bets, which kept my parlay from...
That's called play. They did not do bets there.
Yeah, my play. One of my plays. And that was tough. So maybe I'll win next time. I'll just chase that money.
I never think that is a good idea. But that is one of the things I do love on Underdog is I like to make preposterous multi-tier plays. And I'm like, hey, it's probably not going to work. But if it does. Mm-hmm.
From the 214, you guys made me think that lunch is in 14 minutes.
Yeah, sorry about that. We had to switch up the.
I love the fact that people like in their brains, they're like, oh, I do these certain things at certain times based on the way this show works.
This is the last segment before lunch. I think we all understand that thought.
That my last segment before lunch is 11.
Oh.
Because during...
You get your sandwich.
Yeah, I get my sandwich.
All right, Corey, it could be worse. I want to take you to somebody who did make a bet, which is definitely different than Daily Fantasy. He made a $5,000 bet that Jared Goff would score the game's first touchdown. That's 90-1 odds.
Okay.
Now, if you recall in that game, that is exactly what it looked like happened.
Dang.
For a minute. And that would have been a $450,000 payoff.
It was the reception, right?
Exactly.
Oh, dude. And what a way to win it. But.
And instead.
Oh.
It was a flag.
Because.
You get nothing.
Exactly.
He didn't line up. He didn't come to a complete stop. That's brutal, dude.
That was perfect. So I'm saying, Corey, it's not that you shouldn't be upset, but it could be worse. So that person made a 90-1 bet. Now, on the flip side, if you have $5,000 to bet on a bit, then you're probably not hurting for money, right?
Yeah, probably so.
Like, it would be different if he was like, I wouldn't advise this, but he's like, hey, I bet $5,000 that Jared Goff would throw more than 1.5 touchdown passes. I'd be like, okay, that feels like a real deal bet. I don't know why you would like wager all of the money you have left, but this feels like a D around bet.
Yeah, wow, that stinks, man.
Let's go. Actually, you know what? Let's go to the Chiefs. The Chiefs didn't have any penalties in their game this weekend.
I mean, they did.
No, they did. They just didn't have any penalties called against them.
Yeah.
Since 2019, there's been more than 1,600 football games. And I think this is where the narrative comes from. 12 times has a team played penalty-free football in 1,600 games.
Okay.
12 times. The Chiefs were 3 of them. So every other team in all of football combined for penalty-free games 9 times. The Chiefs, 3 times.
Kevin, you know how when a bull sees red, he gets mad?
Okay.
I feel like when referees and umpires see red, because we've done the study. The color red is the winningest color in the world percentage-wise.
Right.
Like if you wear red, you have an advantage already. I don't know why. I wonder if that's it. Is that it? Or is it the home crowd?
I called that one.
Is it every game that Taylor Swift's at?
Oh.
You know, and I have she shows
not,
up.
You know what? I have not cross-checked
those.
Do
they play penalty-free football?
I have not checked the other two.
She walks in and she sweet-talks the referees, and they're like, oh, man, it's just so amazing.
That's what people say. Brum, 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 brum. Look, I don't know very many of her songs. That's the best I can do.
I'm perfectly okay with it, bro.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Even if you don't like it, I can shake it off. That might be the other one. All right. We talked about you leave that music running. All right. So Brian Branch, we said suspension might be coming. Well, hello. Here's the suspension. He got suspended for one game, although I do believe he is appealing that, which is a fascinating strategy for a one-game suspension. But we'll see how that goes for him.
A strategy of appealing for one-game suspension?
Yeah. Like, I understand... I understand the logic of like maybe you're going to appeal the multi-game suspension because you think it comes at a particularly tough time. Maybe he's appealing hoping that there's no verdict before the Bucs game.
Maybe that he just gets a little fine.
Yeah.
And no, that's the proper punishment.
You're right, but I also wonder if he's hoping to just kill time so he can play the Bucs game.
Nobody would ever use the system
to kill time. 100%. They would
push things back.
Go back to one of our interviews a couple of
until somebody is a couple of weeks ago. Out.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I got a question about Brian Branch though.
Okay.
Do you love the way he wears his one mouthpiece in his helmet and then also has a mouthpiece?
It's a backup mouthpiece. Yeah. That's just called being prepared.
But you
prepared.
Leave the backup mouthpiece on the sideline in the bag or
if
something.
If you're not prepared in a bag. I like that every single player has their individualized branch. And it's just this bag with a mouthpiece in it. Yeah. All right. Bad day yesterday for Adam Schefter, who is not in.
He's had some struggles lately.
He's in the news breaking business, not the news predicting business. This is an actual quote from him yesterday during our show. Quote, I don't think, for all I know, we're going to hang up and there's going to be someone who gets fired, but I don't see a head coach losing his job. I don't see Brian Callahan happening soon. Now, maybe soon meant 30 minutes for him, because before our show was over, Brian Callahan had, in fact, gotten fired. So
do you think that he just when he was saying that he had not gotten the agent's message yet or the GM's message?
Maybe they were watching and they're like, no, we're just check your phone.
Look at your phone right now, you dummy.
By the way, Brian Callahan, Bill Callahan, his dad is leaving the team because I could see how it'd be tough to work for the company that fired your kid.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense to me. All right. Let's talk about some injuries. Garrett Wilson, he hyperextended his knee in the loss of the Broncos. It's looking like he's going to miss probably a couple of weeks. Now, another injury, Devin Lloyd, the NFL's interception leader, he has been ruled out for the game against the Rams. So they have already ruled him out for that game. So those are some impact players already this year. Keep an eye on that.
So Garrett Wilson won't not get thrown to by Justin Fields down the field.
You know what? That's a fair point. I can see how if you're a Jets fan, you're like, who cares?
Devin Lloyd, though, missing huge factor for Jacksonville. Like, yes. Their defense has been one of the key factors for them, and he's been a remarkable player. As we talked with Tony Khan, maybe should be defensive player of the year.
Hey.
He already got a month.
You know what? He has been really good this year. Speaking of players who, well, maybe it's too generous to say good. Travis Hunter. Did you see that Travis Hunter got baptized before the Seahawks game?
Where?
At
a church in a river?
I think it looked like it was at an indoor building.
All right.
So I'm going to assume a church, not a lake.
You ever wish that you'd been baptized in like a river or something?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Can you re-baptize?
Yeah. People do that all the time.
Wash our sins off together.
Yeah. I mean, look, couldn't hurt. But then they lost. So that's going to be a disappointing day. You got baptized and then you lost. But to be fair, the Seahawks have won a team record 9 straight road games. So what are you supposed to do about that? That is, of course, also the longest road winning streak in the NFL.
All right.
The Cowboys have won 0 in a row on the road.
You know what?
In case you're curious.
Their time is coming.
When is that time?
When they fix the defense.
And when do you anticipate, if you had to guess?
Probably next year's draft.
Okay. It's big on linebackers.
Yeah. We are seeing this is linebackers of the strength coming out of this year's draft. I think Broadus has already made a request, Kevin, for some information from Brugler. Regarding some, hey, who should I start looking at?
How many linebackers can I get in the next draft? For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, nobody cares about your fantasy football team, but today we do. So share those triumphs and tumbles. And we will also talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, all of it next right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.